Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Clarkson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I just was handed another copy of this. Is there something different? I see. It was amended on the floor. Mr. Speaker, maybe I can ask, what was the Senate floor amendment to this legislation? I figured out the others. But
Representative Barnes?
I don't think it was amended on the floor. I think the only amendment that I know of is page 2, line 15. It was amended by adding a new section D that relieves the state from liability for disclosure of inaccurate or incomplete information. And on page 3, line 6, the statutory references were to have been corrected.
Representative Bustle?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, of course, the item in question is also a thing that was added on the Senate side. That was originally in the House bill, and he's right about the section that we did take that out in the House Judiciary at the request of the Department of Law. If the representative of Downtown Atkins will remember the discussion with Gail Horetsky, she didn't think that should be in the bill, if some college kid mooned somebody, that would make them punishable under that, if you remember the talk about it. So that was one of the changes that were added in here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Representative Clarkson?
I gather then the recommendation is to vote no.
Vote yes.
The recommendation was to vote yes.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I guess I would argue very briefly to vote no on this. It's a provision that this body and the Judiciary Committee felt was inappropriate. In addition, the copy I've just been handed does have this provision that says that the state can be sued only if a person is denied unemployment because of inaccurate disclosure. I don't even know the impact of that, but I don't think it's a bill that's so crucial that it be passed this year that it's necessary to concur in Senate amendments when we don't agree with them. I'd ask the body to vote no.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 375, Finance amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 375, Judiciary, amended Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
27 yeas, 13 nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 375, Judiciary, amended Senate. Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, the next bill that we have before us is Senate Bill 7. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 7 and recommend that the members vote no.
Will the House please stand at ease? Information that we have is that that apparently the Senate is going to rescind its action in failing to concur with House amendments to Senate Bill 7, since it was only a one-word change. And so, assuming that's the case, I don't believe the motion by the Majority Leader would be necessary. So, Representative Barnes, if you would withdraw the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent I be allowed to withdraw my motion.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next bill we will deal with is House Bill 126. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 126 amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 126, Judiciary amended Senate, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 126, Judiciary amended Senate by the Judiciary Committee. An act limiting the liability of aircraft owners or operators for personal injury or death to guest passengers.
Representative Hurlburt, can you explain the bill, the difference between the Senate amendments and the House bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The difference is the Senate added the findings and intent there on line number 9 in the new bill, and on line 26, all that language after the word aircraft is all new language. What they've done is change that part that said that the passengers have to be informed of the pilot certification and experience level and condition of the aircraft. And they changed a little bit of the wording, I believe. It had to do with the commercial operations. They took that completely out. And in the definition section of guest, they changed that to a person who requests passage, gratuitous passage. And so that's mainly that's the difference. It's the bill, it seemed like it's got progressively better as it worked through the whole system, and I would urge passage.
Representative Abood?
Yes, a question to the maker. Does that mean that if the pilot says, come on, I'll take you, and the guy says, okay, the guy didn't ask to go, he was asked by the pilot, would this still cover the pilot?
If the assumptions have been, as this part has been added, is that if the pilot says to somebody, come on, ride with me, I'm up there, he's liable. But if the person who wants to ride asks, can I go with you from here to there, then this law would take effect. The person is asking the pilot, can he ride with him? He has to request it.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 126 amended, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 126, Judiciary amended Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, 2 nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 126, Judiciary amended Senate. Representative Duncan.
May we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Ramona. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House receive from its amendments to Senate Bill 208, amended House, thus adopting Senate Bill 208, and recommend that the members vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 208, amended House by the Judiciary Committee. An act extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I concur in the recommendation of the Majority Leader.
Representative Winty.
I'd like to commend the Majority Leader for not rolling over and playing dead.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 208, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
1 yea, 38 nays.
The House has failed to recede to its amendments to Senate Bill 208. This time, that's not necessary. This time, I'm going to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Tischer, Chairman, Representative Liska, and Representative Clarkson. The other body has already appointed their conference committee, which consists of Senator Ray, Chairman, Senator Gilman, and Senator Ziegler. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 6 Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 6 Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 6, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to driving a motor vehicle.
Representative Clarkson, the House please stand at ease. At ease, it was pointed out that some members, at least, have only seen this for about an hour, and inasmuch as we still have a day or two more or less left before we adjourn, it would seem probably in the best interest of time to just hold this over to tomorrow until everyone can get an opportunity to look at it. However, after tomorrow, we're going to have to move more rapidly on the limbo file than we have been. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw my previous motion.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in adopting the conference committee substitute for House Bill 251.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read the conference committee report or the bill? Representative Wendy, while we're waiting for the bill to be sent in, do you wish to debate the bill, or do you simply want to vote on it?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to address what I see as a procedure available to us.
Okay, you have the floor, Representative Wendy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The body did, a couple days ago, adopt the conference committee substitute for House Bill 251. If you don't have it available to you, I'm sure you're well aware of it by number. Essentially, the bill dealing with the school foundation program, school debt, retirement. I think at the time this was adopted, there are members on the floor, as I've discussed with them in the last couple days, that felt that they had no other options available and did not feel the need to go back to another conference committee. And I would point out that with the adoption of this motion and rescinding our action on the and adopting the conference committee report or substitute that and then failing to adopt that report, that we have available to us the action of rescinding our action in effect concurring with the Senate bill. I think most of the members on this floor, even those of you who are committed to a specific position, feel that it was important that the Senate portions of the bill dealing with school debt retirement were important and had to be dealt with, and that there are a number of those who hold on this floor who hold that position and do not support the suspension of the foundation program. I would point out that the conference committee substitute does replace the conference or the foundation program, replaces it with the ADM, with the idea that we'll have a report back to us and that we'll adopt a new formula next session. I'd point out that it's not necessary. There is no reason given whatsoever throughout the whole discussion on this bill why we need to suspend it for a year. No one has argued that we need to leave the foundation program as it is, that we do want to look next year at revising it, but no argument has been given on why we have to suspend it for a year. And the way the conference committee report is drafted, if we don't adopt anything new next year or a report doesn't come back recommending changes, that the ADM will continue. So it may not just be for 1 year that we're faced with what can become a real political football as we try and joust around with those figures. I would urge the body to adopt this motion to rescind our action in approving the free conference report and then move through the series of motions that are necessary to adopt the Senate bill to deal with the debt retirement and keep the foundation program at whatever level the free conference or the conference committee on the budget has already decided, and to save that foundation program for this year and come back with the same report we're going to have for revisions of that program in 1984.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Schultz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may, under debate on this bill, I neglected, I guess, my responsibility to stand up and address maybe some of the issues the other day. On this particular thing, I do have some problems with the, in concurring with the Senate and the House version and the way they're combined together. The problem that I have, and if people that have been staying in touch and watching possibly some of the news, the national news, you'll see that education funding is being cut. And if what that'll have a very detrimental effect and impact on PL 81-874 monies. If that happens, what will happen, the $415 million that we have available to us to be prorated, that money, when they receive it, is federal impact money for people that live and work on federal land. When that, if we get that money, or the communities or the REAs don't get that money, what will happen, they will begin to prorate that money, and they will be running out of money in Department of Education, and we will be hit again next year with another supplemental appropriation. The Senate version did address the 100% funding. We do have the mechanism in place at this point in time with Alaska statutes and laws and with the foundation funding at its present level, and leaving that intact at the $42,450 per instructional unit. They can really create some problems with this thing. There's a finance study that's in operation. It's underway. We met with the people, and it looks very positive that there's going to be some real good that's going to come out of this. And I just think it's a bad time for the legislature to intervene at this point in time and set up a different way of funding. I just don't think it's a good idea. There's nothing wrong with maintaining the status quo, go on through when the finance study comes out, then pick up from there and adopt the statutes and laws that are necessary. Another problem that you have, the $415 million appropriation that we have in there, when you start looking at this over the past 2 years, what has happened when we funded this thing, it was funded at approximately $400 million last year. We come in and we're faced with a $25 million, well, I guess with $300 and some million, $385 million. We're faced with a $25 million supplemental appropriation, bringing it up to $415, which was 97%. Same monies this year, $415 million. You've set a separate amount aside, $16 million, to address additional ADMs. What you're actually doing, you're funding schools 1 year in 1983 at a 97% level. The cost of living index going up, when you come right down to the fact, you're going to end up funding schools at about a 94 or 93% level for next year, according to what they're entitled to under Alaska statutes. So that creates a problem. The $16 million, let's say, for example, the school districts go over and the enrollments are too high. What will happen in that case, again, the Department of Education is going to be faced with prorating that money out. They will prorate it out until they run out of money, and they will be again faced with a supplemental appropriation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, I'll ask the clerk to read the, we do have the bill now, I'll ask the clerk to read the committee report, and then I'll state the question.
The conference committee with limited powers of free conference, which has had CSHB 251 HES, State Support for Education, and SCS, CSHB 251 Rules Amended Senate, under consideration, recommends that it be replaced with conference committee substitute for House Bill 251. The report was signed by the Senate members Josephson, Ferguson, and Fisher, Paul Fisher, by the House members Tischer, Chairman, Ward, and Larson.
Question is, shall the House rescind its action in adopting the conference committee substitute for House Bill 251? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 22 nays.
The motion to rescind its action in adopting conference committee substitute for House Bill 251 has failed. Is there further unfinished business? Representative McBride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move to rescind our action in waiving Senate Bill 260 from the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. From that committee.
There is objection.
The reason I'd like to do that, I've worked as a borough assemblyman on this problem, and it's not an easy and complicated problem. It is a complicated problem, and it seems quite easy. It's really the argument over what the word developed means as far as lands in the village and native corporations. And we worked and worked on this committee previously with this. We were asked to write new language. We had a municipal attorney and some of the people who were involved from the corporations get together. They came back and both said that they had agreed between themselves, but neither one were in favor of the language that was in. The State Assessors Association addressed the problem. They came back, and neither party, neither the municipalities or the village corporations, were satisfied with the answer. And I think this is a bill that, and in talking to these people, I've talked to everybody but one particular corporation, and they all agree that they'd like to see us not do anything on this, study the issue through the summer, and address it next fall, next term when we come back here to work. And I think the Community and Regional Affairs has had a lot of work done on this, and I think that it should be continued to until we get this problem answered.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I object to the motion. The representative from down south here, if he would like to testify, he may do so. We're going to hear that bill, Senate Bill 260, at 8:30 in the morning.
Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the motion. The proper place for that bill to be heard and worked on is Community and Regional Affairs. It's inexcusable that I fell asleep yesterday and did not object in a timely manner. And I would just remind you that what we're talking about is the ability to tax by many municipalities of land that under the law are not taxable now until they're developed. And if we're going to cram through a bill and bypass the CNRA committee to benefit somebody who happens to own some of this land, it is wrong and inexcusable, especially when we're going to go into maybe a 160-day session. CNRA committee needs that bill.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House rescind its action? Representative Wendy?
I'd like to ask the chairman of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee on why there was a need, on what basis was there a need to move this bill through so quickly? Is it a crucial item or is it not?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee has a new chairman, but the committee itself has not been restructured at this time. And because of the difficulties of restructuring this late in the session, certainly the members that desire to testify on that bill will have that opportunity in finance.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We realize what the majority leader has told us, and we're not trying to obstruct. What we're saying is that this was agreed as interim work, and someone has seen our position in this committee as an opportunity. And I think that it's an opportunity that we shouldn't allow for this group of individuals. This bill needs to be addressed in a committee that's properly structured and should never have been waived, and there's no reason for it to pass this year.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, a couple of years ago, the tradition was started in this body, at least I thought it had started of at least consulting with the members of the committee or receiving some sort of consent or indication from members of the committee when a bill was about to be waived out of the committee. At least that's what I did when I used to be chairman of a committee, and I'd just like to note that this bill was moved out of committee without any consultation with any member of the committee that I'm aware of, and I just think that's a lack of courtesy, if nothing else, and that regardless of how this motion goes, it seems to me that courtesy would dictate at least bringing to the attention of the members of the committee when you intend to bring a bill out.
Representative Winty?
I guess I can fully understand the majority leader's statement in regard to the makeup of the committee, and I assume that's going to be resolved at least to the coalition satisfaction in the interim. But I guess my question is this bill on one of the priority lists on this need to rush it through, or is, I assume that's the type of action we're taking, and kind of taking unusual actions on those that are on the Senate priority list, or there's a need that really affects adjournment, or are we, you know, is there a need, and specifically, is this on the priority list, or is there just a special interest or something we're trying to sneak this through real quick?
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House rescind its action in waiving the Community and Regional Affairs referral of Senate Bill 260? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
16 yeas, 24 nays.
House has failed to rescind its action. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Adams, announcement of committee meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 5 minutes after the adjournment, we'll continue with today's calendar that's listed. 8:30 in the morning, we'll take up SB 85, amending or repealing provisions relating to state aid for health facilities. Also take up Senate Bill 260 that we just voted on. Take up SB 314 as supplement appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date. 9 a.m. in the morning, we'll continue with conference committee. Hopefully by 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Mr. Speaker, that we can sign the conference committee report on the budget. Thank you.
Further announcements? Special orders. Representative Miller?
I'll be brief, but I know members are interested. The entries are just flooding in on the rhyming contest for the smokeout House Bill 84. I'll just give you a brief sampler, Mr. Speaker, because the hour is late. Here's one. The smoggin' committee is awful. The smoke billies out with each jawful. If Jack would play fair, we could have clean air and rooms filled with smoke made unlawful. And one that's a little bit more charitable. A fine fellow member from Nome, who was anxious to leave for his home, passed out 84 and it went to the floor, and the membership wished him shalom. Mr. Speaker, a final sampler, and then I'll do some more tomorrow at members' request. But a bill in the House Rules Committee would clear all the smoke in the city. But at 10 packs a day, Jack Fuller says nay. He's holding the bill. What a pity.
Representative Jack Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to respond. A minority leader named Mike, who just for his health rode a bike, had a thing about smokers and similar jokers who he secretly just didn't like.
Representative Boone. Representative Abood?
I didn't think you were going to recognize me, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to add my little two cents to this thing. It's SIGs in the AM, PM, and night. And I'll puff the damn things because it's only my right. So if 84 passes and puts out my butt, my throat will swell up like a bull moose and rut. No, you don't want to see me, my non-smoking friends, a-twitching and twisting like a diver with bends. To take away my cigs from me is really not the point. You'd make me break the law by lighting up a joint.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, June 24, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.